The House China Committee has a new chairman. Who exactly is he? Produced by Defense News and Military Times, this is the Early Bird Brief. Each morning, we bring you the defense and national security news of the day. Also, the Pentagon's policy office is struggling to fill vacancies. What does this all mean for our defense and security? You'll find out. I'm your host, Simone Perez. Today is Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. First up, House Speaker Mike Johnson announced the replacement for chairman of the House Select Committee on Competition with China. For more on this, Capitol Hill reporter Brian Harris joins the episode. So, Brian, what happened to the previous chairman, Representative Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin?
Yeah, so Congressman Mike Gallagher, he's a relatively young congressman. He was considered kind of a rising star within the Republican Party during this Congress when Republicans set up the bipartisan House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party. The former Speaker McCarthy had made him the chairman. So, you know, he was doing that in tandem with his seat on the Armed Services Committee for the past year or so. However, he somewhat surprisingly decided a few weeks ago that he would not run for re-election, which was a bit surprising in and of itself. But what happened on Friday was that he abruptly announced that he would be resigning early from his seat on April 19th. So, you know, this had two immediate impacts. As of April 19th, House Republicans will now be down to a one vote majority. So they're just kind of barely hanging on to their what was already a slim majority. And as chairman of the China Committee, you know, Mike Gallagher won't be in that role anymore, obviously, as he's leaving Congress.
Who did Speaker Johnson select to replace him?
The House Speaker Mike Johnson picked Congressman John Molinar from Michigan to replace Gallagher as the chair of the China Committee. Molinar announced that in a statement today. He is already on the China Committee, one of the Republicans on there. But unlike Gallagher, he's not on any of the major national security committees. So as I said, Gallagher was on the Armed Services Committee, and he managed to push through a lot of the committee's proposals, especially on arming Taiwan through the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act process. Molinar, however, has less of a defense background than Gallagher. He's on the Appropriations Committee, which is, of course, you know, very powerful, but he's not a defense appropriator or anything. That said, the China Committee, of course, has a very wide remit of things beyond just defense. You know, they look at things like China's buy-up of U.S. agricultural land as well. So it extends beyond just the military hard power stuff that we tend to cover here.
Another important story, the Pentagon's policy office is struggling to place personnel in appointed positions. Pentagon reporter Noah Robertson breaks that down for us. So Noah, first, could you walk us through what staffing in the Pentagon policy office has been like recently?
Well, over the past year or so is a microcosm of what has largely been a difficult job getting people confirmed into top policy offices for the Pentagon since the start of this administration. Colin Call, an academic, was appointed to the top policy post, the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, in 2021, and was confirmed to that position by a very close vote, 49-45 at that time. Since then, he departed in the summer of 2023, and that has largely left a revolving door of top policy positions open and moving in the Pentagon. We had Mara Carlin slot in to be the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Policy, and Sasha Baker move into the top policy job on an acting basis. Sasha Baker has now announced that she is leaving at the end of April, and that follows Mara Carlin's departure late last year. This now means that at the end of April, Amanda Dory, who is an alumna of the top policy office, but is now the director of the Africa Center for Strategic Studies at the National Defense University, will be slotting into that new position. Also, Melissa Dalton, who is a top policy officer at the Pentagon as well, is moving over soon to be Undersecretary of the Air Force after being voted out of the committee by the Senate Armed Services Committee recently. That now means that there is going to be almost unprecedented turnover within such a short amount of time for the Pentagon.
So why has this been an issue? Does it have to do with getting nominees through the Senate?
I would say in large part this is a legacy of the holds from Senator Tommy Tuberville, which began last year in response to what he saw as an unfair extension of power from the Pentagon regarding a travel policy for abortions. Those holds mainly affected general and flag officers or military appointees, which are usually confirmed in blocks and not controversial. At the same time, though, the political appointees or civilians have been held up as well. The appointee to take the top policy job, Derek Chollet, who is an officer in the State Department and serves a leading role there, was appointed soon after Call left the department last July. But Chollet, despite testifying in September before the committee, has not been confirmed yet, nor does it appear to be imminent that he will be confirmed in the first place. So for now, the administration is looking down increasing turnover while also not necessarily having a plan for what their nominee will take in terms of an actual confirmation.
Also on your radar for today, Democrats and Republicans are sparring over toxic exposure funds after the VA released its FY 2025 budget request. Capitol Hill Bureau Chief Leo Shane III joins the episode to break it down for us. So Leo, why is there more controversy surrounding the VA's budget, and how does the PACT Act or Toxic Exposure Fund play into that?
Yeah, we just got the federal budget done for fiscal 2024, and we're already worried about what's going to happen with fiscal 2025 and beyond. The VA budget's going to be more than $350 billion next year. But there's some concern about how it's structured right now. Usually, government departments have a mandatory section. This is money that they have to spend, things like benefits, medical care, and discretionary. That's stuff that's optional, new programs, new initiatives that they want. VA has those, but they also have a third category now. It's called the Toxic Exposures Fund. And this was put in place in 2002 after Congress passed the PACT Act. That's the massive expansion of toxic exposure benefits that we've talked about in the past. And this fund is really set aside as mandatory spending just to cover the cost of this, to make sure that there's always going to be some sort of fund that can do this. The problem is the way that it's structured with the House rules dealing with legislation. It triggers all sorts of pay-fors and cost-cutting that has to go into effect before Congress passes any new bills, at least coming up from the House side of Congress. And so Republicans there are trying to find ways to fix this by shifting around the funds, maybe redefining them, maybe putting some caps on them, just to give them some more financial flexibility. Democrats are saying that what they're actually doing is undermining the entire fund, that by changing it, they're risking that this won't be funded in the future. So we've got all these concerns that, gets into wonky accounting concerns, but the bottom line on it is whether or not there's going to be money to pay for all of these promises that Congress made just 2 years ago.
What are folks saying is a possible solution to this?
Yeah, there's not a clear solution here. I mean, Republicans in the House are saying if they make some adjustments here, if they shift the money to the discretionary side, they'll have more flexibility with it. If they put some spending caps in and just change some things about how this is handled, they'll be able to just make it work and not trigger all these other problems. But Democrats in the House are saying by doing that, they're risking bankrupting the fund and possibly taking away money in the future. So it doesn't look like we're going to have any fixes on this very soon, any changes. Congress has a lot of things to get done this year and an election this fall that they're gearing up towards. So, but I would expect this to be a real point of contention in budget conversations for the rest of the year, something that's going to be talked about, something that veterans groups are going to have to be weighing in on and thinking about, and something that's worth following as we see if any changes could possibly happen.
And now here's some other stories you're hearing chirps about. Officials said yesterday that an attack by al-Qaeda in Yemen killed at least two troops loyal to a secessionist group. It's the first attack since the extremist group's branch in the Arab country announced the death of its leader earlier this month. Poland's defense minister said two Polish military engineers died yesterday following the detonation of TNT during a training exercise at a military facility in southern Poland. The top executive at plane maker Boeing will step down this year amid a broader shakeup of the company's top leadership. Boeing is the fifth largest company in the world based on defense revenue. And Russian officials called for harsh punishments for those behind the Russia concert hall attack that killed more than 130 people. An affiliate of the Islamic State group claimed responsibility for the attack. And on this day in history, in 1979, a peace treaty was signed by Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin and Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and witnessed by President Jimmy Carter at the White House. That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted and produced by me, Simone Z. Perez. Today's episode featured stories by Brian Harris, Noah Robertson, and Leo Shane. Have a great day.